What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by us. I know that sounds weird. We've got a new t-shirt out in our partnership with Blipshift. We have a new Smoking Tire t-shirt. It's on sale for 2 weeks only. This is week one, the week of January 27th. And so until I think it's the second week in February, you can get it. You can go to blipshift.com/TST or go to thesmokingtire.com and click on the store tab. It is the Smoking Tire logo stylized into a beautiful John Player special style livery. I'm a fan of it. We have a new shirt every month coming out with Blipshift for at least the next 6 months. Some of the designs are really cool, really stoked about it. So blipshift.com/TST or thesmokingtire.com and then click on the store tab to check out our newest shirt. It's on sale for only 2 weeks and then it's gone forever. And you can actually get it as a long sleeve, a short sleeve, a hoodie. Blipshift offers international shipping, so it's not just a t-shirt. You can actually get the logo on some other type items of clothing. We are also brought to you by Dylan Optics sunglasses. Those sweet sunglasses I'm wearing in every video with the matte finish lens. They have two new frame styles for 2019. Zach and Tim have been rocking them, and they are dope. Same matte finish lenses. You can get those lenses in silver, black, green, gold, blue, and they're working on red. They keep telling me red's coming soon. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm excited for red personally. And of course, aviator style or plastic, more kind of beachwear style frames. They got it all. Go to smokingtire.com and the Dylan banner under the partners tab. I wish there was a slicker way to do this, but their website is a little OG. And so this is how they track it back. So we can get you the free t-shirt. If you buy a pair of Dylans this way, go to smokingtire.com. Again, click on the Dylan banner under the partners tab. I'll give you a free Smoking Tire t-shirt if you buy a pair of Dylan Optics. All right. On this episode of the show, we got Johnny Lieberman and Jethro Bovingdon of Head to Head on Motor Trend. Here's the disclaimer. Those of you who joined us live will recall our technical difficulties, and in fact, those technical difficulties remained in the recorded version of the show. And by technical difficulties, what I mean is it sounds like these guys and us were talking underwater through megaphones while eating fish. It was a rare technical disaster, but it was a disaster nonetheless. And so, about 15 minutes into our recording of the show, Zach started recording on his phone. Now, I know you're rolling your eyes right now. The audio quality for a phone on the table is way better than you would guess. However, by our normal standards, it kind of sucks. But we wanted to give you the show anyway because it's fun. So we've fixed this problem on our end. All episodes going forward sound totally fine. But with the disclaimer that it's a technical disaster, Jethro and Johnny of Motor Trend on the Smoking Tire Podcast.
It's the coolest thing ever sitting in my garage.
Yeah, I'm very, very happy.
What do you think of the white one outside?
Yo, it's rowdy. You guys have had a go in that, right?
Not the spider, only him.
I've driven the spider, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rowdy, but it's tiny.
Yeah,
it's even less space than the Countach.
It is, it's tiny. So that's because the coupe's not too bad, is it? They're fine.
The coupe is bearable.
Yeah, I don't understand.
It's an issue with the spiders. So, like the Audi,
R8.
The R8, mm-hmm. I haven't been in this one, but I've been in other Huracan convertibles. That you, because of the folding mechanism, you lose like 3 inches of seat travel.
Yeah.
So I just fit. And if you're any taller, I'm 5'10". If you're any taller, I was going to say
the cutoff is going to be like 4 inches shorter than me because I can look, I can drive it by looking over the windshield.
Really?
Yes. I can drive my entire head out.
It's a hell of an engine.
I look like a absolute tool bag driving it.
That's like the Vector Roadster.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's with your boy.
Yeah, Chris.
Who is that guy?
Chris Singh.
Well, that's Chris Singh.
Yeah, it's right. Lamborghini KS on Instagram.
Yeah.
So Chris bought both Vectors. Both of the prototype Vectors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There they are.
Yeah.
Has anyone driven one of these things? Because I used to read about these as a kid in American mags, like see them. And
do you want the truth?
Larry Webster test drove one and said it was a disaster.
Chubba Cheddar had the best story, and that was...
Is that the car and driver story?
Is it like a bench seat and an auto box?
It has three... Like that. Well, I don't know anything about these. The W8. So this is the WX-3.
Yeah.
So if it had an X, so W was for Weigert. If it had an X, it meant experimental, and I don't know. I don't know what the numbers meant. But anyways, these were both prototypes. They were the Geneva car shows cars. The ones I've sat in, because I've had two friends that have had Vectors, and they didn't run. Shockingly, it must have been a total coincidence.
Total coincidence.
But 3-speed automatic, and it was on like the sill is about 2 feet wide, and the it's on your left side. So. You know, it's a left-hand drive car, and the gear shifter's on the left.
Built into the door sill.
I like that.
Yeah.
Like a 962.
Not it's an auto.
So the entire...
Three-speed auto.
Gated 3-speed.
Yeah, no. So get this. The entire powertrain for a Vector, for a first-gen Vector, and for these prototypes, is the Oldsmobile Toronado big block transverse V8 from the front-wheel drive Toronado, built with forged internals and twin turbos on it, but with the same Toronado 3-speed auto.
Yeah.
And so this WX3 is the first-gen powertrain with the bodywork for what was going to be the second-gen car. And the second-gen car ended up being built by Lamborghini.
I was going to say
they
Lambo
used Diablo guts.
And that was an M. That was called the M8.
12.
M12. M8's a McLaren.
So how many did they build?
Of these?
Or
two.
Just generally.
50 cars approximately. Whoa. So they built about 20.
That many?
They built about 20 or so W8s. They built these two, and then Lamborghini built like 20. They actually made some race cars.
What year was this?
Randy Post was saying
he raced.
Yes, Randy put a picture up. He raced one.
Did they put hilarious. A short ratio 2-speed?
So what happened is Weigert, power glide, baby, blue flame. Weigert gets back from Geneva, and the company has been like this Indonesian holding company that's like Suharto's son has acquired Lamborghini from Chrysler and Vector. And they fired him, and the myth, I have no idea if this is true or not, is Weigert locked himself in the office with like a handgun and a brick of cocaine for a month and wouldn't come out, but Sheriff finally got him out.
That's when he designed the race.
But he's owned that blue one for, these are both his cars.
Both of them, yeah.
That blue thing was at Cars and Coffee every week.
And he would drive them, yeah.
Yeah, it was like not in great shape.
Well, I forget who was just in here not even 2 weeks ago talking about how they saw him curb the fuck out of one of the wheels at a Cars and Coffee. Who was it, Zach?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Someone who was in here very recently said he saw him go... I was going to ask if they were refurbed at all or if they were just
Story... my buddy, another friend told me this. The purple one... I guess it was a Gooding it sold or RM or something.
Yeah.
They actually followed it on the stage with a fire extinguisher.
No way.
But it wasn't running.
they were pushing it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Big money, too, right? Like 600 grand.
1.2 for the pair.
Do these... Bruh. I'm trying to like look at it just like objectively. Like I'm trying to remove everything I know about these cars and just like... Look at the shape alone.
They're rad. The purple one's rad. I mean, come on. That's amazing.
If it had been quick and good, would this have been like, oh, this is like a Countach? You know,
well,
maybe
marketing was that it's quicker. Like a Countach at the time made, I don't know, 450 horsepower. These made 1,100. I mean, it was like...
they sure did.
But to a 14-year-old, it
first
was...
Gear, first gear was geared to 107.
But to a 14-year-old, which we all were back then, it was like a Veyron prototype. It was like the wildest thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, remember Rising Sun?
Veyron, it's a Veyron prototype.
But I'll never forget. I tell this story. I was 91, so I would have been 16 years old. My dad took me to the LA Auto Show, and in the basement, back then the exotic cars, Lamborghini was actually so messed up. They were like a tuner company.
Yeah.
But they had an LM002. a white one parked next to a silver Vector, and like my mind, it just like folded in on. I could not believe what was happening.
Yeah, you know?
And that's like the Vector was the not these, but the WA was rad. I mean,
it was cool in pictures. I just saw the interior. There was one in Radwood, and it was a fucking disaster.
They're in bad shape, but like
it made my Countach look like a phantom. it was so bad.
But
dude,
the interior was like a fighter jet. It was just nothing but like lights and switches for no. They did nothing. But it's just like.
It does look cool. And like I said, in the UK, even we would like. Someone would go on holiday and buy a Car and Driver or something, and it would have a Vector in it. And it sounded cool, but.
So, look at that. It was just the most high tech thing in the
80s. No, it wasn't.
No,
it
was back
from
then.
1989.
Back then? Look at that. It blows your mind.
It has the tech of an oven.
Yeah.
Who recognizes the Buick turn signal there?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. Don't look too close.
That's a lot of button.
So Chubba's story was he was flying out from Detroit. Because these are built in L.A., built in Wilmington, which is like next to Long Beach. And so he'd fly out to drive the things. And like, you know, normally you fly somewhere, the manufacturer will get you like a drag strip or a test track. And Weiger's like, just do it on the 105. Like at midnight. We'll just blast up the 110 or something. And like Chubba said he had to come back three times because it broke the first two, like on the freeway. And like he's like, it was like I'm coming to a complete stop. I'm like, however they did testing back then, like I had to like, you know, rewind the tape or whatever.
Reset the fifth wheel.
Yeah, and then like just to get a quarter mile time. Yeah, and
I remember Larry Webster saying that they couldn't get it to go faster than like 140.
Right. Well, they should have pushed this button that just says engine.
Yeah.
says engine.
What was it? The top speed was like 250, they claimed.
Oh, come
on. Look at the boost knob right there. There you go. It's got a nice boost knob. What does it say next to the boost knob?
That's heads-up display for bright, dim. And then you've got, I like this, this is cruise, which says it's got four buttons. One is enable, one is inhibit. Engage up and engage down.
So again, you're like 13 and it looks just like an F-16.
Yeah, I get that.
Right. Every button is as war sounding as possible.
And by the way, that photo was taken recently. Imagine when this was actually brand new and no one had touched it and 30 years of sunlight hadn't like destroyed it. It looked rad.
It's quite cool. It's quite cool. Fair play to him for getting
that. Yeah, look at that. Look at that.
God, is that a cheetah Vector?
That's ostrich, my friend.
Ostrich?
Oh, yeah. That's Andre Agassi's, I think, was ostrich.
Was it really?
I think so, yeah.
Just making stuff up.
It looks like that whale penis.
No, it looks like bad acne. That's what ostrich looks like to me.
So very famously, Andre Agassi bought one.
You're just making things up.
No, he really did. I remember this.
Yeah. And then he returned
it. Like cocaine.
He returned it because it was so terrible. But the Vector story was...
Sir, you cannot return this. You have covered it in ostrich.
No, that was factory ostrich. But it was so. They said
in the parking lot.
No, they said that like it was a prototype, and they said, "Mr. Agassi, like we really don't want to sell it to you." And he's like, "I don't care, I want it." And then they gave it to him. But apparently, it was a full production car.
By the way, Jethro, look at the left side there. That's the shifter.
That's
down
the
bottom left.
I like that. That's very evocative.
But
it's like
it looks
GT.
Like a throttle. Yeah. But it's like a throttle on a jet.
It's heinous.
Out of frame is the
absolutely
out of the frame is the rope swing that you use to get over the sill to get into the driver's seat.
Yeah,
and there was another. You mentioned Black Rain or what was it?
Rising Sun.
Rising Sun. There was a show. You're too young. You're
Rising
too young.
Sun was a black guy, white guy cop movie.
Read the book and saw the movie.
Yeah, Michael Crichton, right?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Crichton, Wesley Snipes, Sean Connery.
Yeah.
But there was a show called Manimal. It was about it was like Knight Rider, but the guy could turn into a puma.
I remember that.
And he drove a Vector WA.
What else would you drive?
But it had like
Manimal.
It had crazy mode, and they would show it go 300 miles an hour. It was so cool.
Wow!
It was like the next Knight Rider. It was the best show ever.
Changing there it was.
Yeah,
250.
Yeah, and it lasted like who's the actor?
Manimal.
It lasted like one episode, but it was so great.
Yeah, Puma is accurate, I think.
Yeah, he turned into like a Black Panther or something. It was a great show.
Of course,
apparently not.
Who needs a car? Turn into a Black Panther, you can run like 60. Who needs a fucking car?
You need a Vector. Black Panther and a Vector.
You need to turn into a few. Just when the car breaks down, you gotta get places.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so that's the Vector. Yeah, so he bought two Vectors. and we're going to go to Miami and drive him around.
I'm sure you will.
And he wants to eat. Chris is like,
one going to follow the other with a fire extinguisher?
No, but Chris, because Schaefer's going to come down, the photographer, and he's like, I always want pictures of us like pouring cocaine in the gas tank. I'm like, yeah.
You know what you need to do is you need to just hire the fire department to follow you around. Two vectors in a fire truck.
Or tow us.
Oh my god, I had to put the Countach on a flatbed and then ride in the flatbed last month. A lot of people stare at you when when you're the guy sitting in the passenger seat of a flatbed.
Yeah, I broke down on a motorway in a Ferrari F40 in a roadwork section, you know, when basically the battery light kept coming on. I was like, I picked it up from storage to take it and do this photo shoot, and I was like, nah, the alternator will be fine. It kept flicking on. And I was like, oh shit, I know what's coming. And I was in a 50 mile an hour section, all like really narrow lanes and everything. And there was like one chance to get in between the barriers. And it just cut out like 200 yards before, and I coasted in. But you can imagine the joy that this provided all other road users as I sat there in the roadworks with their 40 broken.
Did people want to stop and chat with you about it?
No. They just wanted to hoot and give me a wanker sign.
Okay, so what
I was all they cared about.
I was sitting on the side of the road for like 2 hours. You know, beautiful Saturday afternoon, people going to the beach, and guy in a Countach, and everybody wanted to stop and talk to me about it.
Yeah,
and all I wanted to do was fucking sulk by myself until the tow truck got there.
Well, we should mention that last time Jethro and I drove your car, it wound up on a flatbed.
It did.
That's how it went home.
But, you know, it was a nice day out.
Yeah, it was a great day. Beautiful, sunny. It was, you know.
I was on a motorway, and the AA man came, was like AAA and over here, and he didn't want to put the car on a flatbed, so he had like 10 car batteries in his truck, and he was like, I'll just follow you home. So I did like 70 or 80 miles. We just stopped and changed the battery.
No way.
Every 25 minutes.
Wow, just because he didn't want to put
boss move.
Yeah, it was actually pretty cool.
My dad did that when the Scout was eating batteries on the way back from Tahoe. So he bought 2 batteries so that we could make it another like 80 miles to a hotel. This is before cell phones, you know, smartphones, you could find out what was open. So we just drove until we saw an open hotel.
There you go.
It's great. It's great.
How long is it? 80? Is 80? Did it actually? Did you actually wait until it died to switch the batteries out?
No, we'd wait until it was getting dark. So I'd wait till the headlights started to fade, and like everything was starting to dim down, and then I'd stop and we'd switch it over.
Do you need it to run the engine? You need it to run the engine as well, right?
Yeah, the ignition and all that stuff. Yeah, because there's no alternator.
Yeah.
That's a good question though. What's the worst car to be stranded on the side of the road in terms of like optics, where people are like, "What an asshole." Probably your white Performante out front.
Probably that. Yeah.
Anything expensive, probably.
Yeah, our yellow A12.
No, a red Countach is pretty much like they.
But were people nice, or were they like?
No, they were nice. They wanted to talk. They wanted to talk.
Yeah.
They were,
I think that car's aged out. Where it's just like an icon.
It's that point where it's cool and people. Aren't
it's not douche anymore. If you were in like a. like a Mercy on chrome wheels.
Yeah.
Then people are like,
I feel like I was broken down in some car where everybody kept pulling over, and I'm like, go away, just leave me alone. I'm blanking on live radio, so move on.
Not live anymore.
Yeah.
You fucked up, son. More importantly, what have you guys driven recently that was very good, other than the Renault Sport Alpine?
Senna? Yeah.
You're a fan of Senna?
Versus what? What did you drive Senna against?
I drove Senna in the company of P1. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Am I a fan of Senna? It's
really makes the P1 look pretty, doesn't it?
I think the P1 is pretty.
The P1 is gorgeous.
It is.
It looks fantastic.
But the Senna makes it look extra pretty.
Yeah.
Well, the Senna looks like a plate of chopped ass.
The Senna makes Julia Childs look pretty. I mean,
yeah. Senna's not just good looking.
Awful. It's just atrocious.
I don't really understand it.
It's very aquatic.
Yeah. Is it? But how is it to drive? Like, you get in and you forget what it looks like for a minute.
Is it cool to look out the doors?
Sex with the lights off?
No, the doors thing I don't buy into at all.
Oh, really?
I don't get it. It's weird and it's rubbish. Who cares?
Yeah.
So I'm not so into that. The thing that I was surprised, I drove it on quite a slow track, so not an aero track, and everyone's been going on and on and on and on about the aero. I was driving it was cold, it was in the UK. It was on standard tyres, not Trofeo, cool things. Had so much grip. Just slow corner grip, like just unbelievable on the track. So I think even without the aero, and I wonder if a lot of people confused the mechanical grip as aero grip, but it's
yes, because you know there's no aero grip unless you're over 90, and most people aren't making turns at over 90.
The thing has huge amounts of grip. It's pretty cool. It's cool to drive. Obviously, it's stupidly quick. It's got a bit of turbo lag, obviously, because it doesn't have that P1 torque fill anymore.
But those engines rev so high anyway that you're kind of like always in it, right?
Yeah, although it's a big old turbo bang, isn't it? It's what, 4 liters and 790 horsepower, so it's a lot of specific output. But I enjoyed it. It's fun. It's on the road. It is seriously extreme. Like, it makes something like a GT2 RS seem like a, you know, like a
Phantom.
Not quite a Phantom, but it makes it feel like a Carrera 4 or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's so loud, so stiff. It is super extreme. I just am at the point where, like, when you get that far down, you could just go and buy a race car that would have more grip.
Yeah.
More braking.
And then, like, everything. How much...
And if you're on the actual road, is a 720S... less of a headache.
That's what I was just going to say.
Pretty much the same level of speed.
For me, the 720S is McLaren's massive problem. It's too good. Like, they've done such a good job with that car. It's so fast. If you put a 720S on Trofeo tyres, it's fast enough for anyone.
Yeah.
Plus a bit more.
That's the last car I've driven that, like, terrified me at wide open. I was like, whoa, I got
to
slow down.
I love imagine it. You're going to Spider. Who's going to Spider?
The 720
Phoenix?
We're missing it because we're filming around then, but
I'm going to 720 Spider in Phoenix and I'm stoked.
Yeah, I love the 720. I mean, that orange one we had was kind of ill-begotten, but the blue one was just like such a good car.
The dark, you had the medium dark blue. I had the light gray one and it was the
that color. Yeah.
I like that I can sit up straight in it and look out the window. It's so comfortable.
When you post about a McLaren, do you get love or hate from your people?
Nothing. Turn comments off.
Really? Oh, okay.
Nothing.
I'll speak for Matt since I get most people seem to kind of like him. It's no longer the MP412C days where everyone's like piece of junk kit car, blah blah.
But I've had the opposite experience. Like, back in the day, 12C, everyone just was so willing McLaren to be good.
That's because you're British and they were British.
And I was like, it's not that good. Like the 12, and you'd get nothing but abuse.
Yeah.
And now they're building brilliant cars. And I post something up and everyone's 600? Like, who cares? What's the point?
Have McLaren's you driven the 600?
I think there's like a fly. Maybe they're just desensitized because it's a new car every year.
Too many cars.
Too many cars. But have you driven the 600 LT?
No, they advertised on the 720 Spider thing that there was a surprise bonus vehicle, which I'm guessing is that.
Could be, but it's fucking good. You drove it.
Yeah, it's great.
It's brilliant.
All their cars are good now.
I know that
the evolution is annoying if you're a customer and they're coming so quick.
But you know what? Rich guys buy cars every year anyway, so they're like, great, another car to buy.
It's accelerated what they're doing. Like, Ferrari are almost standing still. There's right. nothing
What's
new
the next Ferrari them? Coming
so,
out?
But the used values of their cars are so good.
I know. From an ownership point of view. But if you're just talking
about
how
they're
moving it.
The right time in the wave, it's like... Right when the first, like, 488s or whatever were to get delivered, you'd buy, like, a second year 458, and it was, like, sweet spot.
Yeah.
And drive the shit of it. Well, it's still under that awesome, like, seven-year warranty.
I drove Pista as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How was that? Crazy?
I didn't love it.
Really?
Weirdly.
And you're like, you think the 458...
I think the Speciale is
the greatest car ever made.
About as good as it gets. Yeah. I love that car.
It was too stiff for me. I had a quick go, but it was very stiff.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think it's that stiff.
I don't know.
But I love it.
I have a broken spine, too.
You have a back issue, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so, by the way, that's one of the things people are like... I have the same injury as Farrah. His comments are off. Can you answer this question for me? Can I buy a Fiesta ST? I'm like, what am I, a doctor? I don't know.
The biggest one I'm getting now that is being DM'd are constant requests of, like, I'm coming to LA. Can you give me some things to do while I'm in town?
What?
Fucking
are you serious?
It's like general LA travel advice.
Like, go to Hollywood, walk around.
We get that in Super Chat. People pay money and they're like, hey, what's a good restaurant to go to?
Oh, I can give advice on that. Yeah.
We all can, but it's like, you know.
Well, hey, for 20 bucks,
that's true. For 20 bucks, I'll give you
right. I think we said that last time. We're like, for $20, we'll answer this question.
Yeah.
Let's set the bar.
I don't know what I've driven.
Can I ask a question? Because you guys have all driven lots of really fast shit.
Yeah.
Does it feel like the evolution and progress of fast cars
accelerated from the 90s, and then are we, is it slowing a bit, like with tire tech and everything, or is it just going to keep going?
I don't know about keep going, but like GT2 RS and 720S are like shockingly capable. And again, the McLaren is actually terrifying, especially in California. By the way, if you live in California, add octane booster, because then it, like, wow, does it really wake it up?
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'll pull spark. Like, it won't actually get to redline. It'll kind of pull at, like, 6,500.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to have to go to that gas station and get some 100 octane.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, I mean, I can't... Insane how quick those cars are, and the Performante is right there with it.
Yeah.
And by the way, real quick, sorry, the SVJ
is a lot of fun.
I drove it on the road.
Yeah, SVJ is rowdy,
dude. It's insane. Yeah, that is like it's like a like Mike Tyson's arm.
Performante's got actual Bluetooth though. It's not using that 2009 Audi MMI system.
Yeah,
they're still using.
Yeah, but who cares about that? I mean, that thing is like awesome.
Did you guys drive Urus yet?
Yeah,
I drove it.
Urus.
I drove it briefly.
Yeah,
it's very fast.
It's a good SUV. Very fast, it's a good SUV. It's no G63, but it's a good SUV.
Uh oh.
Yeah, that's right, baby. Oh, that's what I drove for 5 weeks.
Hell yeah. For 5 weeks?
Yeah.
Did 5 weeks of G-Wagon?
I had it like just after Thanksgiving, and they're like, give it back like mid-December. And I was like, so what's it going to do over December? Like, oh, sit in the warehouse till January. I'm like, can I just keep it till January? So I had it. Oh, I love that thing.
I bet.
Oh, so good.
But you like the LX 570, which I had for 3 weeks also.
LX? Yeah, Lexus, that's great. Brilliant. Yeah.
I went wheeling with it. It was really good.
Needs a body kit to raise up the smashable parts. But aside from that, no, it's one of the best. But, you know, so now the G63 rides like that on the freeway, but it's just as capable off-road. And it hits 60 miles an hour in 4.1 seconds.
Mm-hmm. It's very important for that, for a refrigerator-shaped box.
It's
important to me.
I drove the 63 briefly.
Yeah. You drove the 550.
I thought it was good, and I'm not into those. And I'm Jeff not one of those.
Literally hates SUVs. Like, doesn't ever want to do a video about an SUV. And he's like, annoyingly, it was really good.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah. I wasn't that into the Lambo.
No, I mean it. It's cool to drive. The steering is very video gamey, but that styling doesn't work applied to an SUV.
It's not cool looking. Sounds like a Mustang.
It does sound a little like a Mustang.
Feels like Audi-ish.
The only thing I will say,
it's not great.
They did a good job with the gearbox.
I've driven all the crazy high horsepower stuff on track, so like the X6M and the AMG version.
Which is where everyone drives their Urus.
Nope, no one does. But the Urus, and I got to, I don't know if I can talk about this. I drove it back-to-back with an X6M, and that was the, we've lapped them all at Big Willow, and the X6M was always the quickest, and, like, the Urus just walked it. I mean, it wasn't even, like, it was not even close. It's, like, it's so much quicker, so much better. So, not that it matters, but I know, but I love it. I dig it.
You love it. You don't love it.
Not love it, but I dig it. I like that they took that platform and did something really cool with it.
I think they should have done something more like the G-Wagon. More like a proper LM002.
They should have just
reinvented big, massive shocks, big jumps. A Raptor with an LM002 body is
fine. I'm with Jethro.
I'm with you looks-wise, but I drove it in the dirt. Like, they had a little rally stage where I drove it. Oh, it was bitching. It was insane on the dirt.
Anything's good on the dirt.
Everything's fun on the dirt is the secret. But so here's what happened.
Right. You know what?
Let me tell you how great the Hyundai Accent is in the dirt.
Everything's probably good.
Yeah. Dude, I was driving this thing at thermal on the track, and I did not say this in my video, but it did happen. You know how it's got that the off-road mode where it completely disconnects the sway bar for extra articulation?
In the Urus?
Yeah.
It has that?
It has a mode where it electronically disconnects the sway bar.
It's like a Jeep.
Like an off-road mode for more articulation. Well, I was coming through a corner, and it was loaded up full lean, like third gear, I don't know, 60 miles an hour or something, and it disconnects mid-corner, and the dash lights up like a Christmas tree, and I lift the two wheels inside the air, and I do this and bring it down, and they tried to, like, coach me over the radio about my driving, and I was like, that was not my driving, that was the car.
So you got clear air.
Almost rolled it. Yeah, I got really close.
Wow.
Yeah, and they had to, like, take it and reset it, and I got a different car for my video.
Sweet.
So on the track, it disconnected the fucking roll bar.
Here's how smart Lamborghini is.
Whoa!
Here's how smart Lamborghini is. Was the second car the same color?
No.
Oh, I thought that's smart. All right.
You thought they just drove it around the back?
No, we've had a thing where we had a little Lambo issue, and like another bright green one showed up the next day.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Where it's identical.
Well, it was close enough. This was my fault. I hurt the car a little bit, maybe.
How high did you jump it,
John? How strong is that whiskey, Johnny?
2 or 3 feet. Wasn't that high?
Johnny's all about that jump. That press car yump.
I love it.
Have you not?
I've jumped more press cars. I want to say I've jumped more than anybody, but I don't know if that's true.
I think that's true.
I've jumped a lot.
You have the road, and you guys went and filmed there a lot.
Well, there's that, but also for Car of the Year, there's this one section where there's a jump, and I make it a point to jump every minivan. And Teslas are terrible at jumping. In case any Tesla fans
are freak out if they make it through.
No, they're just so heavy they hate it. You land bad. All the weight's on the shocks already.
Oh. Yeah. Low CG.
Yeah, not good.
Did fly well.
Yeah,
nice and flat.
Yeah, no bad. Julia, awesome at jumping.
All right, what else you guys drive that's good?
What have you driven, Johnny?
I mean that G63, the SVJ.
812 super fast, pretty cool.
812's good. What did I just drive? I just drove something. I had an S63. Oh, Ford GT.
Oh yeah.
I got the one that works.
Like, I had one that works for one day.
It was the same one.
Yeah, oh, was it the black one with red?
No, this was like red with gray.
Sort of. No, I had black with red. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh my god, I love that thing.
Pretty fun.
Oh, it's just rowdy. Terrific.
Here we go.
I've only driven it on the launch. And
oh, I heard there was an issue.
I mean, all the cars broke except one. But I like the car, but I didn't like the engine, didn't like the gearbox. And it's a lot of money for what it is. Like, it's not as quick as a 720S or something.
Yeah, twice
the price.
But
it looks like, great.
I took it up, followed your advice, went to Newcombs, you know?
Yeah.
Dude. It's just an epic car. It's just a race car.
It really feels like a race car.
I drove it on the track and it was great. And yeah. I drove, besides Scott Dixon, actually, he drove me around wherever that Utah Motorsport park
was. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, formerly Miller or whatever.
Yeah. And it is impressive. But it's a lot. It's just a V6. Why is it a V6?
I don't know. When I gave it back, I didn't exactly miss it. But it was a race car.
Yeah.
720 or really NSX is... I'm not with you on the NSX.
We gotta get an NSX.
Yeah, there's a new one just coming.
The 19. They have all the orange ones now.
Yeah.
Have you driven it?
Is it different?
I had it last week.
But can I tell you something? Can I tell you something though? I said, hey Acura, we want to do NSX versus like I don't know 600 LT. Oh no.
They don't want to do that. They're not about it.
No. I'm like, well, give me a car you'd want to do, and you know they came back with 918 Spyder.
No.
And I'm like, what? And
I don't think Porsche is going to go for that.
You made that comparison, though.
Yeah, it's most of a 918 Spyder for a lot less money.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I don't know about most of.
Most.
I mean, it's like a tenth of. I mean,
no, it's most of a 918 Spyder.
I got to drive. The one I drove was so underwhelming.
I've driven two, and they both weren't brilliant.
And they're not
really?
Even...
They broke.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I've had good experiences.
And they're not even... They were going to sell them in Australia. They decided not to. It's just they're not selling
it. I know they're not selling very well, but I had a really nice time in it, and I was very, 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 very fast in the canyons, and it has magical steering.
But, like, it's the same price as a V10 Audi R8. Like,
I know.
Like, what, I mean, is there... Why would you take the NSX over that? Same price.
I don't know.
I would get V10 Audi, but
I might as well, but
they're also offering a ton of money on the table. It's like,
really?
Didn't they give you like a discount, like $15,000 on the hood? Someone said in our comments. Like,
I think they have there's some cash on the hood for some of these, and they also took a lot of the stuff that people were getting as options and made it standard.
It's like I look at it, and it's like Porsche Turbo Speed, but kind of Lamborghini supercar ish body. For what, the price of like an optioned up 911?
It's a nice car, man. It rides well. It steers well. It's fucking crazy fast.
But I would like to try it again. I would, but I'm like, hey, can you give it to us? We're gonna do this with it. And they're literally like, no, not that car. No. And they were like, you could do an R8 or you could do a 918. And I'm like, what is with you guys?
But you didn't like the 918.
I didn't say that. I like 918. I only drove it for 10 minutes, but I liked it a lot. A lot of what that is. It's the same kind of deal, but it's a lot cheaper.
I think NSX needed more electric, weirdly. Because once you've got hybrid and you've got all that weight, it needs to give you more boost, more torque vectoring. Because that's why I like 918. Because it's got like a tiny little V8 that revs to 9, but it feels like it's 10 litres because it's got that instant torque.
So yeah, that's a great point.
You hit it in like 1,200 revs in 6, bang, and you've got 900 pound-foot of torque.
It's just weird they launched it like, you know, 500, whatever it actually is, like 550 horsepower in the NSX, where the entire market had moved to 600. It's like, come on, guys, like, don't launch at the bottom.
Like, but Japanese like to do stuff differently. Look at the LFA.
Supra.
LFA is still good.
I love LFA.
LFA is still good. Cool. What did they sell that one for at the auction?
875, bro. Nürburgring edition.
If I had a lot of money, I'd want a Nürburgring edition just because it's just a cool thing to have. And yeah. I love that engine.
You can have mine.
I love that engine.
Never. To me, it was like the MP412C where it was like it wasn't fully baked. At least the one I drove was like, good engine. Everything else was kind of meh.
I drove one of the Lexus's test mules that had like 49,000 miles
on it. The black one?
Yeah, the black one.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
I drove that one too.
They're just cool. Never. They're super.
The engine's unbelievable. The transmission's garbage. And they had 10 years to develop it. And they had a manual to get rid of it. They had a dual clutch, couldn't figure it out. Put in a single clutch automated, sucked.
The gearbox is the weak link.
Yeah.
I love the red.
Still sounds really good, though.
That engine, they should have put it in the GSF. That was a giant boner move on their part not to do that. They should have done that. That would have been cool. They should have. I mean, come on. Give me something.
It would have been $180,000.
So what?
So what? Like spatial
money.
Crazy
expensive.
But it's Toyota. They could just mass produce it.
Just make more.
Yeah, exactly.
Put them in the Camry.
Supply and demand.
I thought it was supposed to trickle down. What the fuck?
Supply and demand.
Why don't we just have the engine in a Camry now?
I'm saying GSF instead of the 5-liter V8. Put in the 5-liter V10.
I like the GSF.
I love the GSF.
Right.
Yeah. Needs another 100 horsepower.
No, because it's like an E39 M5 or something.
Yeah.
Remade.
It's great.
I love it.
Can't say enough. Except I saw one in orange. Like,
launch edition
at my kid's school. Oh my god, does it stick out? Yeah. Not in a good way. Because it's already ugly and it's just like glowing orange ugliness.
What about the LC? Are they going to do LCF?
Yes. 680 horsepower, twin turbo, 5-liter V8. Yeah.
That would be nice.
Are they seriously doing that?
Yeah, they're seriously. But the problem is that car already weighs like 4,300 pounds, and they're going to pack like 300 more pounds. It'll be fast.
It'll be a missile.
Yeah.
I'll enjoy it.
I like that car.
I like it a lot.
More.
I like it. It looks cool. It sounds great.
Remember that track
is so cool.
In Spain we drove it on? It was really good.
I love it.
Really
I drove that one back from Yosemite, and it was fucking. That was a nice drive, man.
It felt heavy in corners, but man, is it a good just cruiser? Just
it out miles. Out Aston to the DB11 on that.
Oh,
which DB11 did you have?
The first one.
The V12. That car wasn't right. They've made it better.
I heard the 8 is the one to get.
No, it's called the DB11 AMR. Actually, like. They made it more powerful, and they totally fixed the suspension.
Oh. Well, after the DB11 count, they hired the guy from Lotus, and then he fixed the DB the 8 cylinder, and then the AMR.
And then the convertible Becker, and then they did this one. It's I drove it on the Nürburgring.
I drove the DBS recently.
That's a good car.
It was cool. I had it over Christmas. It was like on winter tires, and it's got so much power on winter tires. It was pretty cold, and near me, it's quite bumpy. And I thought I'll turn the traction off because I like to see, because it was quite busy. It would light up its tires at like probably shouldn't say
allegedly
at like well into 3 figures. I was shocked.
It's so good.
It is a proper beastie.
It's one of those things, you know.
Unreal.
Good for you.
Like we talk
rolling burnouts are great,
but like we talk in terms of 0-60 as a metric, but like it's 40-140 it's not a good 0-60 car, but 40-140 it's insane. It's literally insane.
Gorgeous.
It's the most beautiful car in the last 50 years.
I think a lot of Astons really shine in the 40-140. They don't do 0-60.
But this is 715 horsepower and like just a gob of torque.
So much torque.
And it's the best looking car in the last 50 years. It really is. It's so hot.
I think it's the best thing they've done because the Vantage is just a little off, and the DB11 is a little bit off.
The nose isn't right. I mean, I can't.
Not unless you really like Miatas.
Even that's not fair. It looks like the Vulcan. If you look at it, it really does look like a shrunken Vulcan. But it's the transmission tuning's just holds that car back from being brilliant.
I just think it's a bit too much money. I think they messed up with the price.
Astons are always
turbo plus money, and it should be 911 GTS.
If it was like 125,
yeah. Well, it just feels
the problem was back when they made 6 Astons a year. They were crazy expensive, and that was okay because they were so rare. Now that they're trying to be a volume manufacturer, it's like you can't be that expensive because now you're competing with Porsche, and they'll just kill you every time.
I like the Vantage, but
I love it. But the transmission,
I liked it when I was going fast. I did not like it when I was going slow. Yeah. I wasn't happy going slow. Had so much like creep. Like, when you would take your foot off the brakes, it would creep, like, real fast, and then it had a grabby brake.
Yeah. You know, it's their first time working with that transmission, that ZF8 speed, which every other European manufacturer has 2 decades on that transmission. So yeah. It was their first time with it. And we, remember we had the guys, we gave them the M5, because we're like, hey, guys, this is the same transmission, literally the same piece of hardware. Check out how BMW programmed it. And they were like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I'm always shocked at how little cross-platform driving there is.
You would think, but they're such a small company. They're worried about so many things. And they're doing like a product every month. Yeah. I mean, it's insane their cadence. So
they're doing a great job.
They just came out with some weird special edition. They just came out with a very bizarre special edition.
Aston Martin.
The Rapide?
Yeah. No.
The Zagato, like, shooting brake?
No, it's like some literally like a run of like 20 cars.
Well, they do that.
They've just done the V600, you know, the Vantage.
Yes.
It's almost like a 911R version of a Vantage, but it's like a million.
Yeah, but it's the last V12, naturally aspirated.
It's full carbon body.
Yeah.
So it's like a V12 Vantage S, but with a carbon body and a few other trick bits.
Remember the old V600 from the 90s was like twin superchargers.
Dude, there's one of those at Aston Beverly Hills right now. I just walked by it.
How much?
I didn't go inside, but it's got, it was really good condition. It was, you know what it was, like that early 90s like teal.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
And it was a V600, the one with the solid grill thing.
But the twin supercharger. I mean, that's the coolest thing ever. It's like a tractor.
Completely needless. Yeah.
Yeah, look at that.
I've driven a 550 one, but not the V600.
How did it drive?
Did I drive an auto and a manual? I can't remember. It was actually pretty fun.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty fun. It's a big old bus. But
It looks like it would drive like shit, but I still want one.
No, it drives pretty well, and that engine is good. Yeah. It's really good. Yeah, and it's just, it's what you want it to be. Big and sort of just soft mean. And sort of angry.
Did it have that first-gen airbag steering wheel that was just the big square?
Yeah.
That's the worst fucking steering wheel. I have such a problem with steering wheels now. Who just came out? Is it the mid-engine Corvette? We just saw the interior up. It has the 2-spoke steering wheel.
I like that.
They've gone back to that.
I like 2 spokes.
Ugh.
No?
No.
God, 3. I just want the Corvette.
Had 2 and they got rid of it. Now
I didn't. I wasn't about it there either.
I liked it.
Do you think the Corvette interior will be... No, I'm going to say nice, and I've just seen a picture of it.
It's way better than the current Corvette. The problem is, it's so bad, that interior, that like...
What, the current Corvette?
Yeah, it's just...
Remember in 2014, we went on the launch, we were like, it's actually finally good.
Yeah, but...
And then here we are 5 years later, like, oh, it's fucking terrible. Like,
we were on the booze or the weed at the time.
But we were driving the ZR1. Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. Yeah, ZR1. And there's this thing that looks like leather, and you're hitting it, and it makes that... Like, how does leather make that noise? Only GM could make leather hard as rock, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. So that looks
okay.
Is that
actually it? Is that the
actual... No, that's rendering.
That's a 4GT steering wheel.
That's what I could finally search.
No, there's one that's, like, covered
in... So when does this thing finally arrive?
Soon. They're doing a launch. It's coming, like, May or something. They're waiting for the weather, and they're going to do it at VAR.
What are American car magazines going to talk about when there actually is a mid-engine Corvette?
What would be the next conspiracy theory?
What was it going to be?
I get
the rear engine. The return of the front-engine Corvette. For the next 30 years.
All I'm going to say is I was first. That's my whole thing. I was the first to break that story. That's all I care about. And I was right. Yeah, but I was right.
I've got magazines every 10 years with the rendering.
But the one
finally here.
But the story I broke turned out to be true. So I'm just, you know, take that, internet. I was right.
Say it long enough, it's bound to come true.
I know.
I guess.
Right. Hey, man.
Hey, roll 7 enough. Just call it out.
I had very good intel.
That's exactly what Jerry Wiegert said about those cars.
One day it'll be worth 1.2 million.
He told some the guy at Radwood who owned the Vector there, who bought it new. Guy at Radwood had a Vector W8 that he bought in 1993 for. He said it was $425,000 in 1993, and
which is $400 billion, right, in today's money. Like,
and it's 3 Bitcoin.
Yeah,
and he said the chassis was titanium, which I don't think that works.
That would get the price up. That's, I mean, the bolts on a Pagani, which are titanium, is 60,000 euros for bolts.
Yeah.
So if
Ariel have just done a titanium chassis car.
How much? Really?
I don't know. I think they might have just done it as like a test car, but they did a titanium chassis.
No bodywork.
No bodywork.
Who needs that?
Yeah, that's pretty cool though, isn't it? To have a titanium chassis. That thing had one. I'm gonna guess it did.
Guessing it
I'm
did.
I'm gonna say no.
I mean, when I saw the fiberglass body shell, like, or paper mache, like, disintegrated, like, I didn't see any titanium through the holes.
You know, wait, on what?
I've seen a lot of Vipers where whatever that body's made out of, it rots press away. Cocaine. Yeah, it's like cocaine and phone books.
You know, it's got a bench seat, right? So you can get head from the ladies you pick up in this car. Come on, man. How awesome is this thing? How good is this thing? It looks like a Countach, but better. You want to sign up now? That car feels like it got sold in a bar a lot.
You've met Weiger. Yeah. I've met him, and I remember, like, Daniel was like, oh my God, what was it like? I'm like, it's like meeting God and then realizing God is a horrible cocaine problem. I'm probably getting sued for that, but it was awful. I was just this guy. He was like, do you remember, like, you were around. It was 2007. They brought a Vector to the LA Auto Show.
Uh-huh.
And it, like, it still smelled like paint because they painted it the day before, and it was like, it was literally paper mache, chicken wire.
Yeah, it was black, right? It
looked like a Camaro. Yeah. And I remember standing there talking to Weiger, and he's like, the Veyron makes... like 1,000 horsepower, 2,000. The Veyron goes 250. We're gonna go 300. And I'm like, when's the launch? He's like, oh, you think you're man enough? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you're not man enough. You couldn't drive 300 miles.
Oh my God, Zach! Google Vector concept. I bet we'll have the picture of it. The picture really, the visual makes it very sad.
Yeah.
It was
so crazy talking to him though. He was just like. Like, imagine having a manufacturer tell you you're not man enough to drive his car. Like,
you man enough? It's the black thing that looks like a Camaro.
Type in LA Auto Show. That's it. Bam. To the right one. That's it.
That's Whoa. It. Yeah,
oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was it. That was so...
That's actually after the LA Auto Show, because the LA Auto Show, that wing was not there.
There's a lot to unpack with this one. It really has an F-body Camaro front end.
But you could see the chicken wire. I'm not kidding. Like, there's literally chicken wire, paper mache to sculpt it.
You can see variation in the paint from this photo. It's like matte black, but it's different depths.
But do the same Google search, but just throw LA Auto Show.
It went for a long time, this project.
Yeah.
Well, supposedly, he sold those two cars to Johnny's fucking buddy over here to finance a new car.
Another car.
Yeah.
Right, let me guess what it would look like.
That might be it. Right, a third photo.
This?
Yeah.
That's an Audi.
Oh,
it's brutal. Anyway, this is boring now.
To the right. All the way to the right.
Yeah, there it is.
So that's what it looked like on the stand.
Lovely.
And it was...
It looks pretty rough in the corner there.
Yeah, it was like...
But that poster, though, with the F-16 is real...
That's in like an F-22. Oh, yeah.
Zach, can you pull that over? That's not... Not so promising. But you guys, it has 5,000 horsepower.
Yeah.
But did you read that story about that Devil 16 that made 5,000 horsepower? Oh, 5,000
horsepower.
But had no cooling? They just... It could only run for like 15 seconds because it has cooling.
That's like a top fuel car.
Yeah.
It's easy to do.
They just put that in the fucking thing. What is the problem?
Five sold in the Middle East.
Just buy another one.
It's cooling for.
Yeah.
We got some questions from some folks from before our live broadcast took a shit.
We do.
Zach,
you want to pull those up first?
Huh?
I'm going to pull the Super Chat kept working, but we're going to answer the questions that were posted first.
It kept working, huh?
Did it.
Jethro, how you holding up?
Are you alive?
I'm a little bit tired, but
fine. Yeah. He's all jet laggy from flying over.
I know. Working with Chris Harris, he was always in a fucking perpetual state of jet lag. It was very frustrating for him, I imagine. Since you can't zoom in on this, Zach, you're going to have to read them as a picture so you can't rescale. Sorry. Sorry, Zach. Oops. Uh-oh. Don't print
them. Don't print it. Boom.
There you go.
That doesn't help very much. All right. All right. Cross and Shoot says, with the last NA generations, like 458, 911, 9111, of famous manufacturers be regarded as a turning point in history and be sought after in the future?
Yes. They already are.
Yeah.
I think yes as well.
Yes.
Simple one-word answer.
All right.
Three yeses from the panel.
Okay, someone said, is the old Supra overrated? And Jethro, how is the R33-400R?
I have never driven an old Supra, but I love the way it looks. The R33-400R was awesome.
The old Supra is super overrated.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the R33-400R, I mean, I'm a Skyline geek, so to drive a 400R, I drove, it was a Swedish guy bringing it over to the UK and then over to Sweden. He had a cool collection of cars. He had an F512M, load of Japanese stuff, and he bought this 400R, which I can't remember all the history off the top of my head, but it's like the coolest looking Skyline.
I saw a video of you driving that in England, right? It's a couple years old, right? Yeah.
2.8 litre, bigger block. It was great fun. It wasn't running 100%, as he found out afterwards, but it had just sort of been off the boat, and he had an NSXR as well, so he was a cool dude.
I'll chime in on the Supra driving experience is slightly overrated, although those cars are from a period of time when it seemed like Toyota actually built things that were designed to last forever, and so that is a virtue.
Yeah. I agree.
I've driven a couple that make, like, you know, whatever, 1,200 horsepower. And they were undrivable, and then the stock ones
were 550s to the wheels, 500, 550 to the wheels is like the sweet spot, and then they become pretty nice and fun.
But they're quick, but like there's no brakes, there's no tires, there's no handling, so it's just sort of like...
Yeah. I drove one with 600, it's the only one I've driven, and it 600 horsepower, meet your hero's moment, steering feel is bad, but he had left the stock brakes, which I learned like top of third, and I was just like on the street, like, by the way, what brakes are this? And I grab them, and I was like, they're stock. And he's like, yeah, they're stock. I'm going to get to it pretty soon. I'm like, you should get to it tomorrow. You want to track this thing?
Yeah.
All right. Should I get a Jag F-Type V6S or an 09 Aston V8 Vantage for the same money?
Aston.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
You know, the V6 F-Type is just the V8 block with two cylinders blanked off.
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
All Land Rover Jaguar V6s. That's
so weird.
They're a small company.
Buy the Aston Martin, because that is just...
Well, also, it's an Aston Martin.
Although, the V6S Coupe manual is pretty nice. It's a BMW gearbox.
It's a ZF gearbox that BMW uses.
Is it ZF?
It's 100% ZF.
The V6S is... I prefer it to the V8 just because it's got some traction.
Oh, stop that. But
for all intents and purposes, it's a BMW gearbox. It feels just like a BMW.
It's the same one. Only BMW uses it, but it's a ZF gearbox. Get the Aston.
Those Astons are actually lovely.
The Jag is great.
The new Vantage really made me appreciate the old one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's one of those cars we're going to look back on and say, we all moaned that it looked the same for 100 years, but actually it was gorgeous and drove really nicely.
They're gorgeous. Yeah, they all look the same, but... Wow, I just realized I fucked my own argument against 911s in this moment. All right, sorry, John, I cut you off.
Well, I was just going to say, the V12 Vantage, not the S, with the 7...
No, the 2011 one.
Yeah, like one of the best cars ever made. Just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, they're great
cars. I love that car. Yeah.
All right, Gabriel Lewis says, what drives that you have been able to do in 2018 to 2019 did you enjoy the most? And he loves your work, thank you, blah, blah, blah.
Nürburgring.
24-hour
race. He won his class to drive the Nürburgring.
So that was cool.
That's a good one.
What's a Nürburgring?
Little test track somewhere. But any year you get to race there is the best drive of your year.
Was it 2017 when we did the 911 and the M4CS in the Nürburgring?
Yeah, that was fun.
And on the Autobahn in Austria.
I think last year.
But didn't Jackie Ickx say that in the movie One? If you win at the Nürburgring, it's the drive of your life. I think Jackie Ickx said that.
Being there.
It's just the greatest.
This is too cool.
It's
miserable and raining, but it is awesome.
Way narrower than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Based on video games and movies. Holy shit.
But we had this day where it was an open track day, and so we just got to drive as much as we wanted, essentially.
Destination Nürburgring.
Yeah.
Those boys, yeah.
And it was cool. I mean, like, I did, I don't know, 10 laps in a day, and there's no 180 cars total, so you can see other cars.
Yeah.
It was the greatest day.
Yeah.
And it was perfect weather. Yeah. It was actually hot, which was good, just for no water on the track.
Yeah,
so you could just go totally flat. Like, I fell in love with that BMW. The Porsche got even better somehow. Like, unbelievable.
Everyone kept telling me, last one was the Nürburgring, everyone kept telling me about the Renault Megane.
They're the best.
That's what he says.
I drove the RS260, is that right? Okay. Renault Sport RS260, or RS265 maybe?
Yeah, 265 Compass or something.
Yeah, it wasn't that, it's not that.
Where was it, on the track?
Yeah, it was RSR car.
Maybe that was why.
I mean, it seemed reasonably new, it was not particularly beat, but...
I love those. I think they're great.
I'm happy to give them another chance, but I didn't think compared to the like Fiesta ST or those types of cars.
I love them. They've got so towards the end they in the UK they did some pretty trick ones with Ohlins dampers, adjustable dampers, and stuff like that.
But that I love usually them anyway. Fixes
they're great. I think they're cool.
I'd like to do Veloster and on the Nürburgring. That would be
fun. That's where they developed it largely. Rowdy. Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
That's a fun little car. Actually,
it was a very fun car.
I've driven the i30N as well. They're both.
It's the same thing, right?
Same thing. I think the i30 is a bit nicer inside. Like, I don't know why American spec is always horrible plastics and stuff.
Because we need our Condes to be cheap.
Yeah, maybe. But the i30N is nice inside as well. It's a good car.
Oh, I was just going to say, best drive. And I don't know if I talked about it last time I was here, but the SVJ when I followed that psychopath cop.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Oh, my God, that was the best drive.
Yeah.
Just this cop in Portugal going like 130 on a bike, and I'm just following him through traffic in this giant Lamborghini knife thing. It was awesome. And DBS was a great drive as well.
All right, Matt, I'm headed to Daytona for the Rolex 24 this weekend. And
Lollipops. The name of the strip club is Lollipops.
Sorry, Lollipops. You can say any
What's
recommendations.
The name of the stripper?
Any recommendations for Daytona?
Or tips for Daytona?
Covered that now.
Yeah, Lollipops is the name of the club. Bottle service was $80.
Really?
Bring $200 and you're Jay-Z.
That's less than that bottle cost.
Yeah. Yeah. You are... Wow. That's my recommendation for Daytona.
Which car company do you think has the most interesting history?
Oh, I mean...
Volkswagen.
I was just saying Mercedes for different reasons. Yeah. I mean, you know... Well, at least with Porsche, they actually threw Porsche in jail for being a Nazi collaborator. Like, Volkswagen, they let him skate.
Yeah, Ford, too.
Yeah, well, I didn't throw him in jail. He's good, yeah.
Lamborghini, Maserati. I like Maserati because they're just a soap opera of disaster, which I like. They just go from one disaster to another.
So does Lamborghini.
Bristol.
Lamborghini.
How about Bristol?
Bristol.
Aston, bankrupt for 100 years.
Yeah. Any of those weird and wonderful things.
Morgan.
Well,
yeah,
Morgan. I drove a Morgan recently.
They're
cool. Actually.
Like an Aero, like a real
yeah,
one. How many wheels did it have?
50. No, the four wheeler. plus 8 50th anniversary.
There's a three wheeler on Bring a Trailer right now. It's kind of eyeballing. Looks good. Looks good.
Don't do it.
No,
I'm doing it.
Do it.
I want
don't
one so
it.
Bad.
Don't do it.
It's such a me car. I want that thing so.
But the V8 ones are wicked. The aluminum chassis, wide body. They're really fun.
But
actually,
you want a wooden chassis if you're gonna go Morgan.
No,
I think you do.
I don't think I do.
I think they put a little bit of wood in for people like you.
Ah, yeah,
they
good, do. Good.
They make the doors out of wood.
Yeah.
They make the fucking...
As long as...
Just a little bit.
I'll also change my answer to Bentley. That's a very
interesting history.
The Bentley boys, if you study what those guys are up to, it would be like if you bought a car company. Like Wolf Barnato was like 26 and was like, I'll just buy you.
Like,
I'm sick of fighting with you. It's even crazy.
Some Russian guy just like, oh, I won't do this.
Yeah, but what happened was Wolf Barnato buys it and then goes on to personally win back-to-back Le Mans victories. And you know what I mean? Like, and it's like they're like, well, yeah, we want to put a supercharger. And W.O. Bentley's like, no, the purity of natural aspiration. Like, buy the company. And then, like, his buddy puts a supercharger on him.
On the crank.
Yeah.
All right. So, there's a variety of interesting car histories for you.
I should also mention that I'm doing the Mille Miglia and a Blower Bentley this year.
Are you really?
Yeah, I really am. I'm so excited. It's the greatest thing I'm going to do in my life.
Who are you going with?
Bentley.
Who else in the car?
Oh, I think it's Brian Gush, who's the head of motorsports. Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's
actually a cool guy.
Yeah, he's a
good
guy.
He's got some good cars.
And like, Like I did them. Have you done the Milli Million?
No, I've not.
Yeah, do it.
Is it cool?
Okay,
is
it, do it's it.
Beyond cool.
How do I do it? Who do I call?
Mercedes. Give him a call. But like, there's.
Is it cool or is it just like Gumball for billionaires and stuff?
So what's wrong with Gumball for billionaires?
Like, it's, but are you just like running poor people over?
Yes.
Just
no.
Alex Roy's opinion is that it's exactly Gumball for billionaires.
But hang on, Alex Roy showed up with that thesis in hand and didn't do the Milli. He followed around in a rental car. Like, it's bullshit. It's awesome. And you have cops that smash the poor people out of the way for you.
I think it can be both of those things.
Well, no,
I've heard different accounts. I've heard good things and bad things.
I've
followed it around, and there were some bits that looked quite cool, and other bits I was like, nah, this isn't right.
I don't know. No, it's not even that. But it's like, with the exception of, like, I don't know, my kid hugging me for the first time consciously, like, nothing was as good as the Milli. It's awesome. I mean, I was in a freaking 56 Gullwing driving as hard as I could for 4 days.
That sounds fun.
What is bad about that?
That doesn't make it not Gumball for billionaires.
You don't talk to anybody else. You just drive, and then at the end of the day, you pass out from exhaustion. There's no partying. It's awesome. There probably maybe were guys that were partying. We were just like going to bed.
There must be guys partying.
Yeah.
Bojo bong? Would you like a bojo bong?
Yeah, but it wasn't even like that. You just get to the hotel and pass out. You're so tired. The cars don't have air conditioning. You know, you're just dying. And like Alex showed up with that thesis. And I remember he talking before the race. He's like, I'm writing a thing saying it's billionaire. I'm like, I don't think it's like that at all, you know?
Okay. So. Well, I'll just go with Mercedes then.
Yeah.
Just
to and Mercedes. Mercedes.
just arrange that.
You can't.
Johnny will text someone for you.
I could, but Mercedes also shows up with like an army of engineers. So the great part is you pull in, you're like, yeah, the alternator's on the fritz and the brakes are kind of soft. And then you wake up in the morning, brand new car.
Yeah, that's the good shit.
It was great. I'm worried about the Bentley. We're going to die.
That'll be all over it.
My face is going to have like be covered in soot like you're a fucking coal miner.
I can't wait.
That's a cool experience.
I'm so excited.
All right. I'm replacing my 07 911 C2S and 2011 Accord with one SUV.
Oh, dude.
I commute 48 miles one way.
Delete.
And there are no curvy roads.
Delete.
The biggest donation so far today. We got to answer this question.
G63.
We are puppets. There are no curvy roads near me. I'm in Florida. Should I get a 2019 RDX or a 2019 Edge ST or something else?
Something else. So I haven't driven the Edge ST. The RDX is like is just...
Johnny's answer to this is G63.
He's got a Porsche 911. G63.
07.
It's an 07.
Well, you know, maybe he bought it new. Not an RDX. Okay, so he wants a good sporty... I don't know, like a Stelvio. Get a Stelvio. Oh,
yeah.
Stelvio, yeah.
Or a
four-cylinder Macan.
Or an F-Type. F-Pace. That's nice.
F-Pace.
Velar is awesome.
Yes, all three of those.
I would say Stelvio.
Yeah, Stelvio is really actually good. Yeah. There it is. And you're in Miami. I know a girl who used to work at the dealership there. They got money on the hood, baby.
Cash on the hood.
Yeah. How's the Stelvio reliability compared to like the Quadra?
They have a really good warranty.
All right.
I mean, you can sync.
Fiat Abarth.
I want to say something about reliability, though. You can sync any car on the internet, but every car I post, the Fords are totally unreliable. Unless it's a Prius, like everything's unreliable. So like internet has to call. When no one is Consumer Reports. Like lease a thing if you're really worried about reliability. They'll give you a new one that day. Also, companies like Jag, where the cars do break all the time. They will give you a car that minute. They'll drop it off where you are, and they'll just replace everything, like, no questions asked, and it's not an issue. So,
I want to get an I-Pace as a press car. They look cool.
Those are great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's good.
I've heard good things.
They're hard to charge, I've heard. But
hard to charge?
Yeah, like, a lot of times you'll find an older charging port from like 5 years ago and it just won't work.
Oh, that could be a problem.
What's he go by?
Billy Car Automobile.
Billy from Automobile.
Car Guy Billy.
Car Guy Billy on social media. He's got one and he's like been chronicling how hard it is to charge. But he also loves it. So.
Okay, it's a cool thing.
All right. Johnny, is aging bourbon in personal oak barrels at home effective or a waste of time?
If you're distilling it yourself, it's effective. If it's already been distilled, you're going to get like splinters. So then you have to know how to filter. And if you're distilling at home, absolutely. But what my friends who still do instead is they get shredded barrels and they just soak the wood chips in the bourbon, yeah. And then the surface area, the ratio of wood to liquor is much higher, and it ages faster. And I don't know. I would just say, save that money and just buy good bourbon.
All right. Freddie Rios says, dream vacation house. Where would you buy one, and what car do you stash there?
Ooh. Nürburgring and like a GT3 manual.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's pretty easy. 4-liter RS, I think. 997.
Oh, yeah. I still haven't driven that. It's killing me.
Or somewhere on Route Napoleon, South France would be good as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Switzerland, right by the Italian border.
Oh, yeah.
On those Alps.
Yeah.
That's Swiss good. Side, but close to Italy.
Yeah.
Because you want the infrastructure of Switzerland, but you want the lax speed laws of Italy?
Yeah.
Italy is no joke, dude. You can run up humongo tickets in Italy.
You can, but not as bad as Switzerland.
Well, they'll arrest you in Switzerland. Yeah. Italy, they just send you a check 18 months later, or a bill 18 months later.
All right.
40,000 euros.
Jared Cunningham says, I drive an NV Miata, and I'm looking to get a good first Porsche after. Budget of 15 to 20. Should I buy something like a Boxster or a 924 or something else?
Not a 924. Unless you're like a full-time mechanic with a lot of free time. Yeah, dude, like a 987, perfect.
Or a 944 turbo. That might get you a 944 turbo.
No, maybe. Not for that much, no.
No?
But you just
I'd get a Boxster.
You'd just be repairing it, and a Boxster drives better, 100 times better.
I love Boxsters. Yeah. I think they're great. All of them.
Yeah. Pretty
all
good. Right. 987.
All right.
987S.
Can you get that for 15 to 20?
Wow. Yeah, 987, that's like already like 12 years old, 15 years old.
Unloved. Especially outside California, probably.
Yeah.
Most favorite to least favorite auto parts stores? I know you had an experience in an auto parts store, but otherwise I'm like, I go there, they give me the thing I want, I leave.
I think O'Reilly's at the top, AutoZone's at the bottom, Napa's somewhere in the middle.
I feel like they're all the same.
I have no comment.
I don't know, that's what I got.
Yeah.
Ooh. A watch question. AP says, no date sub versus White Explorer 2 for a second Rolex. I currently have a date just on Jubilee. Could go either way. White Explorer 2 rules. I love mine. If you're going to get an Explorer 2, get the second gen Explorer 2 with the thicker hands and the new movement and the orange GMT hand. I would say get the Explorer over the no date sub. That's just me. I heard you bought a watch.
No.
You didn't?
No.
Where did you get that from?
I don't know. I thought you bought a watch.
I was wearing Sang's Big Pilot.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was going to sell it to you or something.
Yeah. And they told me the price. My wife was like, no. Oh. Yeah.
It was, Big Pilot will last a very long time.
I know, but it was also, I'm a man of modest means. And I forgot to wear my watch today because I've been up since 4, and I feel naked.
So. All right. We got a few more. Sports sedan under 35,000. Not in a rush to buy. Well, okay. Never mind.
All right. I have an
APR-tuned Volkswagen GLI. Should I wait to see if the Chevy SS continues to depreciate?
Yes.
Get a Genesis G70 or a Lexus GSF in a few years. I'm 6'7".
Whoa.
No manual cars.
Chevy SS, because Australians are giants.
Yeah.
And you'll fit in the Chevy. And the Chevy is also just so... If you can get a manual SS, it's so good.
He says he has a leg injury, so that's why he can't drive stick.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, it was at the end. I don't know.
Just take an Uber. No, I'm kidding.
GSF's a lovely car.
GSF's has really good.
Good paddles, good gearbox.
And then just tape an iPad to the dash for your navigation and all's good.
I love GSF. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's good.
Australian, Tex13 says, has Matt or guests ever heard of a Mitsubishi Legnum, a Pulsar GTI-R, and a Nissan Laurel?
Yeah.
These are JDM market Nissans.
We have the Pulsar, but it was a Sunny GTI-R in the UK. Yeah.
Have you ever driven one?
No, I haven't. They're quick. They're really. I remember I used to go to Santa Pod, which was like our local drag strip, and they were always there running low 12s, which at the time was like,
it's fucking cool. We saw one in New Zealand, and it was like 2-liter turbo all-wheel drive, and it just blew our mind that was available.
It's a rally homologation car, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah, they're cool. They have disappeared off the roads pretty much everywhere, but they're nice things.
I see the Pulsars at the importers once in a while.
Oh, really?
Sean at the import at a Top Rank has brought a few of them in. Yeah. The Laurel, I think, is the four-door 240, basically.
Yeah.
It's like the less cool Skyline.
Is it like a chaser, but Nissan?
Yeah, it's like a four-cylinder. It's like the Nissan Cressida.
Those are all like blank. I've seen them all. I've read an article, and it's like, oh, it had the thin roof. That was its claim to fame. Thin roof. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like no pillars and no roof.
I don't know. Pretty boring car. We can move on from this one. Yeah. Gilad needs a quick explanation on how podcasts work. We do them live, then we take them down once the live show ends, except this show it's not live, and then they get reposted with the ads and remastered audio on the schedule, including the Pat Long podcast. Let's see. We'll see. How many? We got a bunch left, Sec? This is it? Okay, great. Two left. Currently, I drive an 04 Jeep Wrangler. I'm looking to add something more comfortable. Looking at mid-2000s Lexus LSs? All right. Recently, Matt recommended someone get a GS. I like the GS. Any reason a GS is better than an LS? It's not as huge.
It's cheaper, yeah.
I'd get an LS. What would you say, G63?
Yes, it has massaging seats. Nothing wrong with an old LS. Don't get the new LS, but the old LS is great.
He's talking about mid-2000s. That's like a 430, right?
Yeah, that's the dullest looking object ever crafted by human hands.
That will last 1,000 years.
Yeah, and they're, my buddy's dad had one back when I used to drive around my friend's dad's cars, and it was super comfy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just like really, and Lexus had really good leather. No, they don't anymore, but they did have
that period.
Yeah, those leather was like awesome. Yeah. And I think it ages well.
I recommended someone got a GS because it's basically an LS in a slightly smaller package.
Yeah, that's and they were like a little sportier.
Yeah,
they
always
had that weird C-pillar, and they're kind of cool.
Yeah, that was the awkward generation, but in general, they drive really nice.
They do drive great.
Yeah, last one is BMW 36. What happened to Drive Tribe?
Jethro.
Well, it's still going. So
are they sort of?
Yeah, I don't. I probably am not allowed to say. But what happened? Well, nothing. We got approached to go and do some stuff there. We had about a year of actually having a really good time doing stuff.
You and Henry, right?
Yeah, me, Henry, and a couple of other guys. And then they were just going down that Facebook paid for click stuff, and. Yeah, I had a minor falling out with someone, and it just got a bit messy. But I think I'm probably bound by some contract not to say.
Yeah, don't get yourself.
But yeah, it seems to be still going. I don't know what the strategy is anymore.
There was a story that they lost quite a lot of money. they had burned through.
They burned about 16 mil or something like that.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money.
It's a lot.
It's depressing to think how good a thing you could create, actually, for that amount of money.
Also, I mean, I remember I only saw a few of the videos, but the stuff you and Henry were doing was, like, great stuff.
Well, it was fun because we actually had, for a little while, we could just do whatever we wanted.
Yeah.
And we were doing it on a budget, but it was really cool. So I'd come out to LA for a week and shoot, like, 5 videos.
Yeah.
We'd shoot a video every day.
Yeah, I remember I saw you with the Shelby R.
We did some cool stuff and I enjoyed it, and you never know where things are going, do you? But I'm it probably helped me get to Motortrend, so that is a good thing.
Not really, we wanted you.
Let's just say that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was just saying, I'll never forget the whole Motortrend video department watching your Yellowbird video for Car and Driver, and I'm like, oh, we're just doomed. Like, look at this guy. And then we saw every other Car and Driver video, and I was like, we're gonna be so successful. But I was like, who's this guy? Like Jethro. He's like drifting Yellowbird, like, you know, one-handed, like, oh yeah, it's a great car.
What, the original one?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the weird thing about that video, when we first did it, the woman who was in charge of Car and Driver's video at the time, she just was panicking. She didn't get it. She thought it was awful, the worst video. And she was like talking to the guys on the magazine. They're like, no, it's pretty good. It's fine.
I literally remember being filled with panic, like, what we're doing, there's no way we'll ever measure up to that. And then they had all those other ones where it was like driving school.
Yeah.
All that crap.
They went down that reality.
Yeah, they did.
So it's a shame.
Good. Can I ask a question about your 996?
Yes.
What's your setup on it? How do you like it? Because, Matt, you've said that 996s feel weird. So I just wanted to.
I think they drive.
I don't want to pitch you guys against each other.
Unlike other 911s.
In what way?
Well, his.
How have I qualified? I don't know.
His has the engine next to the vehicle, which is kind of.
Yeah. So mine has a current problem. No, mine is basically just a real simple early 3.4 cable throttle car. It has Bilstein P PSS9s, I think, or 10s, and it's set up as a Mark 1 GT3 heights and cambers and everything else. So,
have you done bushings or anything? Because I know there's like a lot of stuff on the back.
It's got PowerFlex bushes. It's got a few other bits. I've got some adjustable rear arms. I haven't gone fully down that route because you can just spend like $25,000 on shiny bits of aluminium, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure they actually improve it that much. But as a road car, it's lovely. It's great fun. And it's the first 911 I ever drove, so I love them. I think they're great fun.
And I think they're... I love, like a Carrera S, like the, you know, RS4 or whatever, the 996. I think they drive like 997s with funny headlights.
And they're just small and light, which is what I like about them. They do have a different feel to certainly a 993. And
I just think the inputs are different and they're a little strange, that's all.
So I think the 993 is the funniest driving of all the 911s.
Because it drives like a really old fucking car.
It's just, yeah, they're just kind of heavy and...
Yep. They're a bit heavy. They don't rev. Yeah. They're nice when you drive a good one, but they're not quite worth the worship, maybe, that they get.
I drove that...
drove a lot of old cars, though. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I
drove a Workshop 5000.
Well, that was actually... That was a 964 RS. That was... Oh, God, that thing was just like...
964s are great though. You drive a 964 and they feel
this great. One though, our friend Marlon, the Workshop 5001, the RS he made, it's just insane.
Yeah,
it's like, it's also, you know, I can't even guess the price, but oh, so good.
Mm. It's in England now, that car. Yeah, you're gonna drive it hopefully.
Oh, you'll love it. You'll love it.
I have a brand new engine. It works good.
Oh yeah, how is your car?
Running great.
But what does it feel like? I've never driven a 911 on Safari.
You could guess kind of what it feels like. It feels like a Porsche in a lot of the ways that are important, but it also, you know, has a sort of Baja truck thing going on. So you hit a speed bump on throttle and it just skips right over it, which is really cool. And potholes and all kinds of terrible things that I hit on every day are pretty minimal.
And have you driven an Aerial Nomad?
No, he has.
I imagine it'd be like that. But
It moves. Yeah, it moves. It moves a bit. It's not for the canyons, but for the city or on the highway. Or I'm taking it skiing next week to Mammoth.
Oh really?
I got snow tires for it, and then we're gonna do some desert stuff. I had to have the engine rebuilt, unfortunately, which was a massive setback and annoying, but it's good to go now.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I mean, it's not...
I think it's cool.
It feels like a quieter Nomad, because I've ridden with you in Lee's car when we shot the video, and I drove the Nomad, and obviously the Nomad, you hear everything because there's no bodywork and there's no seam welding and all that kind of shit.
And you're wet.
And you're wet and you're dusty and all that stuff, but I had, not having driven the 911 in the dirt, but having ridden with him, I was like, I think I understand what he was doing, because the lift throttle oversteer is really easy in the soft stuff.
Super, super easy.
Amazing experience.
And it's also like a newly built, you know, 260 horsepower 3.2. It sounds gnarly, and it's a G50 car, so it has the proper gearbox. With a Wevo shifter, so it's got a really tight shifter, and it's got a light flywheel, so it revs really good, and it's a bit of a pain in the dick when it's really cold out.
Yeah.
That light flywheel is, it's affected by the temperature, the way it returns to idle.
Okay.
So you have to kind of like catch it with one stab. So it requires a bit of a technique. But only when it's cold. When it's warm, it's fine.
It looks cool.
It looks cool and it's a lot of fun, and I cannot wait to get in fucking snow with it.
Yeah,
that'll be great.
What do you want to plug before we get out of here? Head to head, obviously.
Well, we actually start filming season 8 tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're driving. We have to actually test a car, and then we're driving to Phoenix, and it's gonna be good.
All right.
Yeah.
Big, a lot of good cars coming up.
Big horsepower car. It'll be fun.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah. You got anything?
Same shit that you do, mate.
Well, I know you're doing other stuff.
No, I'm here for head to head.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be good. We got some cool cars lined up. So
yeah. Follow us on Instagram. Instagram. It's all about Instagram.
Why don't I follow Jethro? Why does it say follow back there? Fuck that bullshit. I follow Jethro. Click that button. That's bullshit. Jethro Bovingdon with a D on Instagram. Johnny Lieberman without an H. On Instagram as well. Thank you for bringing the smooth ambler by.
Hell yeah.
Old Scout Rye, single barrel. That was some rocket fuel.
Mm-hmm. That was a rough one. That was a rough one. But it's pretty good.
Eating into the cup.
Yeah, it is disintegrating the cup. Yeah. It's literally eating through the wax.
Yeah. thank you for the taste.
It's very good.
Are you guys going to... you going to that slant back social thing? Are you around the 27th?
No, we're still in Phoenix. Right. We're driving back from Phoenix.
I'm going to be... it's an appearance, but it's not an appearance. This thing in Long Beach called the Slant Back Social on the 27th. Oh, we're not live. This isn't relevant. It's on the 20th.
Of some month, somewhere.
Of this month, of January. On the streets of Long Beach. I'm going to go down there with the 911. Okay.
Sweet.
That is the Smoke and Tire Podcast. We're powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. All you need is the internet, a computer, a microphone, and ideally something to say. Good night.